Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Home Depot Project Loan is a simple way to put big projects within reach. You not only get no payments and no interest for 6 months, you also get the flexibility of paying it off anytime. So whether it's new flooring or a whole new kitchen, the Project Loan makes it easy and we make it possible. Get started now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Good morning, everybody. This is Nikki Nellis, and David Nellis has been kicked to the curb this morning. I am kicking off 2013 without him, but not for good. I have Chef Scott Juneau in with me today. You know him from The Source. We've been lucky enough to have him in a couple of times. Scott, thanks for joining me this morning as my co-host.
Adios, David.
Adios. You're saying goodbye to him already?
You're done, David. You had a good run, but it's over now.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning. We have a really full studio. It's a little bit, it smells like sweet and sticky and a little bit of alcohol, thanks to Tom Brown over there with Hogo. And it is, we have decided on this show, normally after the new year, everybody talks about dieting. Like, what do you resolve to do? Do you resolve to take care of yourself, mind, body, spirit? What is it? I say forget that. I think for 2013, you should live large. And in order to do that, we have brought in a studio of people who are going to show us how to do it right. So, of course, I brought in Scott Juneau because he's really tall and lives large anyway. And we brought in the guys from Astro Donuts. You want to introduce them?
Absolutely. Really excited to introduce a couple local guys starting a place called Astro Donuts and Chicken. Elliot Spiesman and our hometown hockey star, Jeff Helpern. Welcome to the set.
Hey, guys. Thanks for coming. So they're with Astro Donuts and Chicken. They brought in all these gorgeous donuts. We're going to talk to them in just a little bit. And if you didn't know, if you're not Catholic, which I am not, we're going to get a whole education today because it is the Epiphany. It is King's Day. And that means 6 weeks of partying. David Guas of Bayou Bakery is going to walk us through it. He's brought in the King's Cake. He's going to educate us and then tell us how we have to, like, repent.
I'm somewhat intimidated. I went to Catholic school for 6 years, so it's bringing back some
all right, well, then maybe you know.
Memories.
I've had like three people try to explain to me how this all works. I don't get it.
I don't see a nun with a ruler, so I think we'll be okay.
Well, we'll get schooled a little bit by David Guas later in the show. And then, has anybody here been to Shake Shack?
Of course.
And everybody? Everybody's been to Shake Shack. So you know what they do. They do their concretes. And that's their thick, unbelievable shakes. And I thought, what could be more decadent than something like that? So we are lucky enough to have Mark Rosati in from Shake Shack. He's all the way down from New York. And he's brought in a whole array of flavors that they are launching in January. And you can't sip them. You have to use a spoon to eat them. And we are going to try a bunch of them later on the show.
Nice.
Now, you got to cut all the sweetness between the concretes and the donuts with, and the king cake, of course, with a little bit of alcohol. So who better to do that than Tom Brown and Danny? I don't know your last name.
Paulson.
Danny Paulson, both of the new Hogo, which just opened up next to Tom's Passenger here in D.C. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
You're going to have to move closer to that mic so I can hear your voice.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, guys, let's talk about Hogo. You just opened it up. It's a rum bar. It's a tiki bar. You got Hawaiian food in the back. Give us a little 411 on what's going on there.
Well, actually, it's kind of my take on a tiki bar. It's not a traditional Polynesian style. My sense of the exotic is more influenced by the Caribbean and South America. So not only do we have rum and a lot of rums from the Caribbean, we have over 85, but we're also exploring tiki drinks with mezcal and tequila and pisco and really kind of trying to just push the envelope on it.
Okay, but when you say rum, all your rums are from the Caribbean, rums are made elsewhere, aren't
well,
they?
Well, they are, and I actually have to say I do have some Indian rums because India is a big producer of rum as well.
Mm-hmm.
The rums that we have are all very characterful. Is that a real word?
Characterful, yeah.
They're all rums with a lot of character,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not limiting, you know, where they're from so much as I'm looking for things that are interesting that people would be intrigued by.
Well, let's talk about rum just for a second. We were talking a little bit about it before the show started.
And drinking.
And, well, Jerome was already, you know, kicking off the party, right. So what are you looking for in a rum, and what do you think? I mean, most people think of Bacardi. What do you think of that? And what are the kinds of rums you're serving? I mean, do they have more of a botanical flavor? Is there more of a spice to them? What are you looking for in your rums?
Well, rum has a really long history. Actually, some would argue that the U.S. was built on rum. But
I'm not going to argue with you. I have no idea.
The things that I'm looking for are rums that differentiate themselves from other rums. Bacardi is a great product. Puerto Rico has been made famous by doing a very light style of rum that appeals to a broad range of palates. What I'm looking for is rums that appeal to individual palates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking for rums that show character of where they're from or show some sort of style that's attributed to the place where they come from. Or, you know, sugar cane is like grapes in that it does show terroir.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
does
the rums,
it really? I mean, do you really think that comes through? I've never thought of it that way.
Oh, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. The rums from Demerara, completely different than the rums from Martinique, completely different from the rums from Guyana. I mean, there's a really broad range of rums out there, and they all taste very different from each other.
Okay, next time we're going to do a rum tasting.
We started one this morning. You were in the other room.
I was working while you were drinking.
Tom, where does the name Hogo come from?
Actually, Hogo is a Creole word used in the Caribbean to describe the kind of funky essence that you get out of rum production. Sometimes not necessarily in a positive way, but I think it's a fun word. And I think it does describe a lot about rum. And it just kind of puts off this smell or this flavor that you can't quite describe with any other word.
Well, it's a real boozy smell. I mean, the alcohol hits you. I mean, when I walked in here, I was like, who is drinking? So when you say tiki drinks, are you serving tiki every night?
Yeah. And, you know, when I say tiki, I don't want it to sound like it's these, you know, grenadine infused sugar bombs that you get at the Chinese restaurant. You
right.
know, it's tiki drinks have a lot of fruit to them. That's true. But not all fruit is sweet and not all tiki drinks are sweet. And so what we try to do is explore the flavors of infusing rum with different fruits and different sodas. We use ginger beer, all kinds of different things to just kind of bring a wide range of flavors together. So it's a category unto itself, but it's not limited by just fruit bomb drinks.
Well, I think people think Trader Vic's.
Right.
And they think those juicy, you know, lots of
umbrellas.
Exactly. Umbrellas.
Oh, I like umbrellas. Don't get me wrong.
There will be umbrellas.
Okay,
there will
all right. be umbrellas. We'll take umbrellas. But, I mean, as a person who does not drink a ton of cocktails, one of the reasons why is because I just feel like sometimes they're so sticky and sweet and lots of juice, and I prefer a more bitter or dry cocktail that doesn't feel like it's overwhelming me. Do you know what I mean?
There are some cocktails that are like that.
You need to be in front of the mic so everybody else can hear you too.
There are some cocktails that are like that on the menu. One of the things that's really specific about the cocktail recipes at Hogo is that they're all meticulously balanced. They're specifically designed to be very well balanced in proportion so that you're going to get each flavor. You're still going to be all of the recipes are designed to showcase whatever liquor, whatever spirit is in them.
Cool.
So you're going to be able to taste, you know, for instance, one of Tom's favorite recipes on that is the tea punch, which is made out of a rum agricole out of Martinique.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that kind of funky hogo smell. And it's also made with cane syrup and just a little bit of a lime zest. So you get the lime oil around the rim of the glass when you first bring the glass to your face to actually taste it. You get that funky rum smell, that funky rum taste that almost kind of pushes into someone who isn't experienced might actually think it's kind of a tequila.
Okay.
It's going to throw you off guard a little bit because it has such an out there flavor if you're not experienced with that kind of a rum agricole spirit.
Interesting.
And then also
I have to cut you off because we have to move on. But I think what you're saying is really interesting because I don't think a lot of people know about that. But on that note, I am going to ask what you're making first.
Oh, I'm going to go for a daiquiri first.
Okay.
And I don't make my daiquiris the straight way that they are historically made. The daiquiri, I guess, first came into play in the 1800s, mid-1800s, but they were issuing lime and sugar with Navy rations way back in the 1700s. So before there was the daiquiri, there was lime and sugar and rum.
Okay.
And I'm just going to throw them all together and mix up a cocktail.
All right, go for it.
Nice. Okay.
All right, great. All right, so Astro Donuts and Fried Chicken. Guys, want to thank you both for joining us, Jess Halpern and Elliot Spiesman.
Spiesman, yes.
I want to make sure I'm saying your name right. Okay. Nice. I have a tendency to butcher people's names unintentionally. Thanks for joining us this morning, especially since the NHL is back on, right?
Yeah, this is, I think if it was a day sooner, I don't know if I've been able to come. So they were nice enough to let me come.
And you're leaving D.C.?
I'm driving up tonight.
You're going up to New York?
To New York, yep.
All right. Well, we'll miss you. But we'll have donuts and fried chicken to remember you by.
But we're happy hockey's back.
Scott is, exactly. All right, guys, why don't you give us a little background? We were talking some before the show. Fried chicken, donuts. I don't know if a lot of people get it.
Well, this is something that started probably a long time ago. But me and Elliot have been friends since we were playing hockey together. And I think both of our jobs after college allowed us to travel around a lot of the country. And I think some of the things we, you know, not necessarily this particular product, but you see certain things of the country that you like and you say, man, if we could bring that to D.C. or bring that into our lives and how much people would enjoy it. And I think as we started seeing donuts and fried chicken a few years ago come up in different restaurants, we thought it was an interesting idea. And we'd stare at some of the cupcake craze and some of the other crazes and couldn't believe that
Why are you tired of cupcakes? Are cupcakes boring you?
We always thought that donuts, there's so much more potential for donuts.
I'm definitely tired of cupcakes, and I'm staring at a bacon glazed donut, so I'm pretty excited right now.
So
thank you.
It was something we were telling the story the other day about, you know, in college, we used to go to the Wawa after the bars closed, and the guy would come in to take the garbage bag full of donuts out of the display case, and we used to pretty much tackle the guy to go steal some donuts. So we said, well, maybe...
So you were dumpster diving early. Okay.
Well, we were dumpster diving. We'd run away with the bag, and we couldn't figure out why the guy had never chased us. But we, you know, probably too dumb or too drunk to realize that he's throwing them out. But we you know, we thought that if you can kind of reinvent the flavors and make them pop, and we're both new to the food industry, but are both lovers of cooking and food itself. So... It's something that we grew up on and thought it could that it needed to be reinvented.
Well, let's start with your donuts, and then we'll talk about the fried chicken. We're going to have to take a break in about a minute. You have all these different flavors here. Some of them are untraditional. How did you, and the chef is Jason Gehring, how did you guys come up with the idea of the different donuts and what you wanted?
I think the biggest thing is that the different flavors, you want to make sure that they pop. So if you're a coconut fan, you want to make sure that the coconut was that it kind of it popped, or it was something that you craved. And the peanut butter and jelly fan. So we had a basic idea. Me and Elliot had a good sense of what we wanted them to look like and what we wanted them to taste like. And we were lucky enough to find Jason a while ago, and he kind of ran with the product and was able to. We looked at his notes after about 2 weeks of his first day working with us, and it looked like a serial killer's notebook of different flavors and kind of arrangements, and we couldn't be happier with everything he's done.
All right, great. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how one is supposed to handle a plate of fried chicken next to a plate of donuts. I mean, is it a bite and a bite? How does it work?
Just
Chef, are you going to...
Just go at it.
Just go at it. Just have it. All right, this is...
No silverware, just...
All hands.
I love it. All right, this is Nikki Nellis. I have Chef Scott Trunow with me. David Nellis is out. Scott Trunow's in.
For good.
And we got donuts and fried chicken, and I just got my first daiquiri. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hey, everybody. It's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
In the new year, we won't be making resolutions. We'll be making indulgences. We'll be filling our studio with lots of great tastes and lots of good treats.
I like indulgences. That's Foodie and the Beast this Sunday and every Sunday at 11 right here on 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Soon, this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
This is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I'm back live with Chef Scott Trunow, who has taken David's place just at the radio show, not at home. I'm sure your wife is outside. I'm sure she's thrilled.
Easy. Everybody settle down.
And we are on air with Jeff Halpern and Elliot Spiesman of Astro Donuts and Chicken. Scott has a good question for you.
All right, I have a question. So every fried chicken fanatic that makes fried chicken has, you know, even the Colonel, he has his 20 secret spices. So what is the secret? What's the deal with your fried chicken?
Jason kind of was inspired by his
grandmother's
recipe. He's from the Eastern Shore, so it's got a lot of that kind of roots to it. It's brined overnight, and he has his things he kind of tweaks and keeps on the wraps.
Everybody has a secret. I don't understand.
Secret,
like, just tell me. I'd like to make fried chicken.
Okay.
You know, I want secrets.
You want secrets? I don't think you need secrets.
All right.
But you guys aren't just doing one kind of fried chicken. You're doing several kinds, right?
He's doing the traditional buttermilk and then the sriracha glaze, and then he's working on a couple other ones he's playing around with. He's done – both of them are unbelievable. The sriracha has got a nice little kick to it.
Yum, and the sriracha. Don't you make your own sriracha, Scott?
I do make my own sriracha.
He does, and it's yummy.
I do. But so where are you located?
Well, they're not open yet.
Well, when they open.
We're going to be at 1308 G Street, which is 13th and G.
And there's no sit down, right?
It's no sit down. It's just grab and go.
It's just grab and go.
So it's
so is it a separate bag? So you're throwing it all in one bag? I mean, how do you get it?
It'll be separate.
you're not
like crumpling up into a ball and showing your mouth. But you can if you want. But I think that one of the things for our store will be, at different parts of the day, whether it's donuts in the morning or a midday snack or. A lot of the flavors are going to be savory and sweet and salty, and so depending on what kind of mood you're in, but as well, the chicken, you know, will be there at lunch times and before dinner. And
so, are you supposed to take like a bite and a bite? I want to do it right. I want to eat correctly. Like, I mean, is that how people are eating it?
We got a lot of different flavors, so it's nice to sample all of them. So it depends how much you can handle, kind of.
All right, so Scott, which one are you going to taste? Everybody in studio, stop looking at the donuts. Come in. Everybody
take a bite.
I'm going
with the bacon, of course.
Are you going with the bacon?
You know, anti-resolution.
All right, what else do we have here? Tell everybody what we have.
We got the maple bacon, the peanut butter and jelly, the Twink Nut, which is a play on Twinkie. The creme brulee, the
creme brulee looks delicious.
Pina colada, the Brooklyn blackout, and those are the six we have here.
Okay, so right now you guys aren't open, but you're catering.
We're catering.
So can you explain what that means?
We're just catering the donuts right now, so it's a minimum of a dozen, and we will only deliver to Metro Center, the Metro Center and the Penn Quarter area.
Okay, so right now people can call you.
They can either call or email us.
All right, and you can get the catering. And when do we think, maybe kind of, that you will be opening?
We should be opening at the end of the month.
Okay, end of the month.
So he's now making donuts, making everything from scratch, and he's done an unbelievable job.
All right, well, we want to thank you both for coming in this
morning.
Thank
you guys for having us.
Thanks for bringing in the donuts. Good luck.
Thank you.
With
Let's
the
go
Rangers.
Caps. Caps.
Thank you.
Caps.
I mean, I don't care, but good luck. Have a good time. And Elliot, thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
and we can't wait until it opens. Thanks,
thank
guys,
you.
So
thank
much.
You.
All right, Tom, we are going back to you. We were having a little discussion about the daiquiri. Scott asked what a Hemingway daiquiri was. I thought what we were drinking was a Hemingway daiquiri, but I am sorely wrong.
No, you were drinking my version.
No, I was drinking a Tom Brown daiquiri. Duh.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure that mine's better. But,
who's Hemingway?
Who is that guy?
We have Tom Brown.
Hemingway daiquiri is made with grapefruit, lime, maraschino liqueur, rum, and a little bit of sugar.
Oh, okay. And I did ask this off air, but I have to ask it again. Okay, so where did those disgusting daiquiris come from? The ones with like all the, you know, slushy blah stuff in it. Like,
Chef David Gloss.
Chef David Gloss, did he make them?
He's responsible.
New Orleans.
Yeah, but why New Orleans? Why did New Orleans make them? Was there a reason?
It was the invention of sour mix, really. The invention of sour mix and getting away
from
using...
Which is what? What is sour mix? Like, explain it.
Gross.
I have no idea what it is.
Do you know what it is?
I mean, I know what it's supposed to be.
Okay. I'm blaming David Gloss for the invention of the daiquiri. Put it on record.
Okay. David Gloss is in trouble from Scott Trino.
I think that it's a lot of chemicals in sour mix, but what it's supposed to emulate is a combination of fresh lemon, fresh lime, and sugar.
Okay. But it just does a terrible job of doing
it
that.
What about a hurricane? You got a hurricane on the menu over there?
I can make a hurricane on the menu.
But that's not tiki. That's just New Orleans.
New Orleans.
It's not going to be from a blender. That's where we keep our goldfish.
So now I see you have one of those bowls.
A volcano bowl.
A volcano bowl. So is that indigenous to tiki?
This is something that the Trader Vic's and those kinds of establishments use to encourage communal drinking.
Okay. I'm all about communal drinking. I think that sounds fun.
It's great. I mean, sharing a bottle of wine or sharing a large format beer with somebody is a great experience, and so is sharing a cocktail with somebody. And so the volcano bowl gives you the opportunity to do that.
So what kind of drink do you put in the volcano bowl?
Well, this one is called They're All Bastards.
Is he allowed to say that, Andy? Yeah.
Is that cursing or is that okay? Because I was told I couldn't curse today.
Yeah, because it's a variation on a suffering bastard, which is a classic tiki drink. But one of our bartenders, Julia Hurst, came up with this drink. And it has whiskey in it, along with rum. And has a little bit of ginger beer in it, and it comes on fire. It's awesome. I'm about to light your studio on fire.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Oh, my God. Maria, take pictures. Very, very
And
fun.
I did hear something from our lovely host, Nikki Nellis, that she's quite the champion at slugging down the
bowl. I'm a bowler.
The bowl.
Well, I was when I was in college, but I was a bowler. So that's very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing if I can keep my reign, see if my tiara still is all glistening and everything. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to vacate your seats so I can bring on our next guest, please. Awesome. David Gloss is going to school us. In the Epiphany in King's Day, he's come with cake and a doll.
Yes. Yeah.
Hi. Well,
he's got beads on, too.
I know. Nice. Chef David Gloss is in the house.
That's right.
You know him from Bayou Bakery. And he has come to celebrate the Epiphany with us today.
That's it.
Let's hear it, man.
January 6th is the kickoff of Carnival. So we're talking about the Feast of the Epiphany. We're talking about King's Day. And... it is the beginning of a very long, as you mentioned before, celebration of life down in New Orleans and other parts of the world. But it's just how we sort of go into Lent.
So you have 6 weeks of partying.
Well, yeah. So Mardi Gras Day is actually different every year, right? So it follows the day before Ash Wednesday. So Mardi Gras translating obviously as Fat Tuesday in French. And so it was that one day to sort of finish it out of your system. But truly, the kickoff is today.
Okay.
So January 6th this year will go all the way to February 12th, which will be Mardi Gras Day.
So I just found out, and you're going to tell me I'm right, but so the 12 days of Christmas.
Right. You're going to agree with me no matter what I say.
Well, hello. You have to. My husband isn't here. Somebody has to do it.
That's right.
I always thought the 12 days of Christmas were before Christmas. I didn't realize it was from Christmas on. So this is the 12th day?
Yeah, and actually, truly, this would have been celebrated as the new year. So not really January 1st, but not a calendar year. But, you know, with the Catholic calendar and whatnot, this would truly be the beginning of
the new year.
Of the new year. So a lot of history, a lot of rich culture down in New Orleans, obviously. And that's my native city, and I adore it. And that's why I obviously put every last penny I have into a concept called Bayou Bakery, as we all know.
Right.
And, you know, you follow your passion, your heart. And this is just one of the things that we do that's very unique. I don't think there's really anybody else that obviously has the authenticity or the stamp of being native that can produce this. So we actually make these cakes from scratch. So we had about 26 of them going out on day one today.
Wow.
And, you know, you can order them on our website and whatnot. But almost like a Danish dough.
Mm-hmm.
We're hovering over the king cake now, the king's cake. They come with a trinket, which is, you know, the plastic baby, which back in the day would
have
been
really
maybe.
Gross. I just have to say.
There's a lot
gross.
Of plastic babies,
right?
Too. You know?
There are
I thought
a lot
I just had one plastic
here.
Baby.
And it's just
in
disgusting.
It.
That's right.
No.
So we, you know, it comes with three beads and purple, green, and gold, symbolizing power, justice, and faith. So they actually have everything's linked to tradition and in meaning and history. So it's not just. We like those colors and we celebrate them. There's actually meaning behind it all.
But
and,
is it indigenous specifically to New Orleans?
Well, I mean, like anything, like the daiquiri, we sort of took it. We you know, we made it our own, I guess. In whatever warped version that it may be, it's still ours. So we claim things like that. But, you know, we joke about New Orleans being the center of the universe and everything else is outside of that. And, Louisiana is definitely a different place. But I'm sure everybody has been there or at least has known
time.
Somebody
right.
that
we all love
got
it.
Out in one piece. if you weren't answering your phone at 3 a.m. to try to bail anybody out. But, it's pretty rich. It's pretty culturally. It's a very unique part of the world. And
but how do you think, given that you are from there, how did New Orleans sort of become like the place to celebrate Fat Tuesday in the States? I mean,
it's the melting pot, you know. So I mean, we've got from the Portuguese to the French, the influence, the Spanish, obviously, you know, from our architecture to our culture. I mean, we are a product of so many before us, like any rich culture, you know. It's about the people that brought agricultural items into that major port city. So from, you know, going back and talking about chicory and coffee and bananas and how did bananas foster, you know, it's just that's what was on the ships and we had to figure out what to do with it. And like anything, it just showed up one day and we scratched our heads and figured out what to do with it. And it's become sort of a New Orleans thing. I think that you'll see that in a lot of major port cities. So, you know, with the depression and everything else and hard times, you know, the chicory was one of those things that fluffed up a product and helped to preserve it, but also stretched the life of coffee. And so that's where chicory and coffee was born. And so, there's a lot of different things. Scott, you can't eat that.
I got to know about it.
Scott,
can we circle back to the plastic baby? What is the purpose of the plastic baby?
So back in the day, it was either like a jewel or a gem. I mean, I'm looking for
so
the ruby still, but yeah.
So there's something baked in the cake.
Yeah, so a lot of bakeries in New Orleans actually will insert the baby into the cake. And so
we call it a baby.
Yeah.
It just sounds weird.
A small infant
a newborn,
child.
Yeah, six-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. But you know what? If you don't have it in there, people get mad. So it's... Again, we're staying with the tradition, but we, for liability reasons, we actually just put it in the center where the beads are. So, you know,
because we're in Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
and they'll sue you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, just you don't know where everybody's coming from. And we do have a huge Louisiana following, obviously, and a lot of, you know, New Orleanians that live in this area. So, you know, they obviously recognize what we're doing. everyone, but I think that even people that don't, maybe, you know, they went to Tulane Law School or they went to Loyola, so somebody, you know, has some kind of, you know, it's almost like the Kevin Bacon, you know, everybody sort of has a New Orleans story and knows a little bit about the history. So it's a fun way to sort of bring in the new year and to kick off Carnival, and that's what we're doing at Bayou Bakery, and we're planning a huge...
Wait. I'm going to stop you.
Yeah, please do.
Because we got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to hear about how you guys are celebrating Mardi Gras and sort of like the jump-ups. They're called jump-ups, aren't they? Like the parties before...
Sure.
Right? Aren't there, maybe that's an
You're
agreement.
You're right.
Yes,
you are correct, sir.
No, but aren't there tons of parties before
yes.
Mardi Gras?
Yes. Today's the day. You could legitimately have a party from this day forward without any explanation. And
all right.
You wouldn't be...
Tom, light that drink. Let's start the party.
Fire it
up. This is Nikki Nellis. I'm with Chef Scott Juneau. We are cutting the king's cake. We're going to be back in just a sec.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor. To a life of courage and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours. Not yours. And another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's
going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis. I have Chef Scott Juneau in with me from The Source. We are sipping on a volcano, and it's on fire.
And Nikki still has the skills to throw it down.
So.
She just crushed me in the challenge.
I think I could do it. I think I win. Winner. What do I get for winning?
You get another cocktail prepared by Tom Brown in 3 minutes.
Excellent. All right. We're on with David Guas of Bayou Bakery, and we were talking about the king cake. And the baby's in the cake.
Sorry, Chef. We're stuck on the plastic 6.8 ounce baby.
It's all about the baby.
He has a plastic baby on his shirt.
It says, who got that baby?
So what does it mean when you bite the... If you bite the baby, what does it mean?
Then you're going to be calling your dentist on speed dial, I guess. But I tell you, so, you know, everybody's got a different version of what it's supposed to mean and all that jazz. So growing up in New Orleans, for me, it was more about, like, if you got the baby, it was fun and you wanted to, but the reality is it meant you need to bring the next cake to the next party. So, I mean, is it truly an honor? I don't know. I mean, it's going to you're going to be out of pocket $40. But it's still fun, and everybody wants to get the baby because you know there's only one in the cake. So it's, you know, you're slicing it. You know, strategically as a kid, you're lifting it up, looking for that little trail of insertion there, and you're sort of, you know. So we had all these tricks growing up, you know, as kids in New Orleans. So, but you know, another big thing down there is, you know, during Carnival is, you know, it's the throw me something, Mister. So if you could, both of y'all say that together and hold your hands up.
Like,
yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. You want me to flash?
No, just say throw me something, Mister. throw me something, Mister is a big thing. So
okay. One, two, three. Throw me something, Mister.
So then you got. So that's a big deal
party.
Down there. So that, I think that was my third word, you know, my second group of words that I learned how to say was "throw me something, mister." So yes. Just a little something, a little some Mardi Gras. Scott,
t-shirts.
I got you a double X.
That's
I don't
perfect.
Know if that'll work for you, but
maybe not after
sorry,
all the
no
donuts.
That'll be an evening gown for you, Nikki.
Tell me what's going on at Bayou Bakery, though. How are you guys celebrating the next 6 weeks, other than your fabulous king cake?
Yeah, so we'll have this by the slice, we've got some big things in the works, and not all of it's finalized, but we're attempting to really rock Arlington pretty hard this year with tented streets and closures and some big stuff.
Oh, so you're playing like a big party.
Oh, we're going nuts.
Is that just for Mardi Gras?
That is going to be for Mardi Gras Day. Last year, we had Rappahannock Boys, the Croxton cousins, down shucking for us on Mardi Gras Day. And this is your official invitation, Travis and Ryan,
right?
to come shuck it by you again in Arlington. And we're looking for a street band to do a little second line and out in the 22-degree weather that we're anticipated to have February 2nd. So if you know any crazy second liners that can play some horns and don't mind freezing. And Abita, we're looking for Abita to do some sponsorship. So we're gonna blow it out and have a good time. So it's an all-day party at Bayou that day.
Okay.
And then Looney Gras is another very celebrated day, and that's the Monday before Fat Tuesday, because we can't just have one day.
Right.
We got to just keep backtracking and say, well, the Monday before is Looney Gras. And, of course, we can go down the whole calendar and create another celebration.
Looney Gras. You get a plastic Wile E. Coyote in your case.
There you go. Looney.
Very good. That was very smart.
This is a great breakfast item, too. I mean,
delicious.
I take these home, and I eat off of them for a couple of days, and a good cup of coffee, tea. And
do you really? They're delicious.
Sure.
Is there cheese in there?
There is a little bit of cream cheese filling, just to give it a little added moisture. And, it's a nice Danish, a little bit of hint of cinnamon and sugar, but not too much. And, a nice sort of Danish style dough, so you've got those pockets of dough. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and for our
Mardi Gras
t-shirts and the delicious cake. And I feel really like I know.
I'm going to leave these babies here for you,
buddy.
Go to Bayou Bakery.
Plastic babies are plenty.
All right. Tom, we're going back to you. This drink is delicious.
Cozy, too.
Oh, cozy. Yay. To stay warm on Mardi Gras when we're outside partying at Bayou Bakery.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm there for sure.
My husband wants to know if we miss him yet. Do you miss him?
We don't miss you, David.
Okay. You're not missed.
You've been replaced.
I miss you a little bit. But but Scott's doing a great job. Yay, Scott.
Yay.
All right. So, Tom, we're back to you. We're going to have more time at the end to talk to you. So just tell us quickly now what you're making next.
What I'm going to make next is a rum punch. And the recipe for rum punch is very simple.
Okay.
It's one sour, one sweet, three strong, four weak.
I don't know what any
Can
of that means.
There is a test.
Okay.
Four strong, 3 week. That's all I got.
it's a great recipe because you can use anything in the place. You can use lime juice, or you can use orange juice in the sour. You can use rum. You can use whiskey. You can use a lot of things in the strong. My favorite thing to use as the weak is ice, but you're welcome to use whatever you want.
What else is used as weak? I mean, what else is considered weak?
Well, if you were
Sprite
before ice, they would put water. It's a very old recipe. So,
okay.
This punch recipe goes back to when they were drafting out the Constitution. So it's it wasn't like you could just go down to your local 7-Eleven and grab a bag of ice. So they would often use water.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, we'll look forward to trying it.
Okay.
Scott is busy finishing off the bowl in front of us.
You didn't leave anything in there, Nikki.
There's oranges. There's still oranges left,
There's a few
Scott.
Fruit segments left in there. It was like, amazing display on your part, like a typhoon just whipped through there.
Thank you. I do have powers. Okay, well, next we have brought with us Mark Rosati. He is from Shake Shack. He is their culinary development manager. I don't know what that means, but he's going to explain it to us. And we're going to be more on a sugar high, because we've had donuts, we have had king's cake, and now we are going to have concretes. And I'm like buzzing on sugar. So, Mark, thanks so much for, and Scott's digging in.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Not shy.
Okay, culinary development manager at Shake Shack. Tell us what that means.
Well, it's actually a very busy job for me because as we keep growing, we have 21 locations now.
Mm-hmm.
Each location's menu and design is slightly different. We want to make sure each shack kind of feels very special and unique to its community.
Okay.
So that means going in and spending some time in the neighborhood and kind of find out what makes it tick.
All right.
So for a DuPont Circle, we feature some very cool local items. We have a poly-style shortbread as a mix-in we have. And we do that at every location.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to make it more fun and unique.
Mm.
So something else I do is all of our custard flavors that you have right here. We have a custard calendar that we rotate flavors on a monthly basis. So, for instance, every Monday of this month, you get this first guy right here, Presidential Caramel Custard, which is our nod to the inauguration coming up here,
nice.
Mm-hmm. Which is fun. It's kind of like a ripped on salted caramel, thank which you. Everybody seems to love. But we want to kind of add the salt in a different element, and pretzels are just absolutely naturally delicious and salty, mm-hmm. and they work well with the caramel.
So, but let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about custards.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people think Shake Shack, they think these are shakes, which these are not. So what is this exactly? Like,
well,
what
custard
are we eating?
Custard is the base, and what custard is, most simply, it's a fresh ice cream.
Okay.
What we're doing is we have a big custard machine in all locations, mm-hmm. and we make our custard fresh on an hourly basis, which produces a very creamy, rich product.
Okay.
And the fact that it's made fresh, it doesn't sit around very long, and it doesn't develop ice crystals, so mm-hmm. it stays ultra smooth and delicious.
Okay.
And we take that custard, and you can have it in a cup, a cone. We can use it to make a milkshake. But what we're really known for is taking that custard, adding mix-ins, and blending it together so it's still frozen. And that's the concrete. That's something you eat with a spoon, and it's still frozen. You can actually turn upside down, and it's so thick, the custard stays in there.
And how do you guys come up with the different flavors? I mean, you said you try to stay indigenous in each area, but I mean, how do you play with the flavors? How do you get the right balance in each?
What we try to do is we try to have a couple comfort flavors every month, mm-hmm. and then a couple seasonal flavors every month. Being in winter here right now, we're doing a lot more tropical flavors. We have Mom's Coconut Cake Custard over here,
mm-hmm.
which is feels right in this time of year. And then we get into spring, we'll be doing like strawberry rhubarb shortcake custard, and then on to strawberries, blueberries, peaches as the season turns.
Okay. And how do you keep them? It's very smooth. Did you taste
it? It's creamy.
It's
delicious.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How is that done? I don't know. When I think of custards, like the kind of custards I have like at a Dairy Queen or something like that, I guess that's not real custard, is it?
I think they've elevated the Dairy Queen. I don't think they're going to appreciate the, you know, reference to Dairy Queen.
All right. Well, as a chef, yeah. I mean, do you think people know what real custard is?
No.
Because I don't.
No.
I mean, what is real custard?
That's a good point. This is a great example of, you know, the texture is great. The, mm-hmm. the flavor profiles are unique and different, and it'll go good with a burger. The
anti-resolution,
a good burger and some concretes, you're all set for anti-healthy New Year.
So what is a custard?
So it's very similar to premium ice cream.
I know, but what's it made with? Like,
it's
in
made
what
with
way?
Cream,
same
sugar, eggs, exactly. A lot of premium ice cream doesn't have a lot of egg content in it. Custard has a little more.
Okay, that's right.
And when
I
it's blended, it has a lot less air whipped into it. So it's a lot creamier and denser.
So right.
Yeah.
It's very dense.
Mm.
Okay.
But it's really the fact that it's made fresh throughout the day that gives you that smooth texture where it doesn't become crumbly and icy in your mouth.
All right. Mm. And so for people who haven't been to Shake Shack yet, why don't you tell us a little bit about the...
Where have you been living?
I know.
You have, you have 20 locations now?
21 now.
Yeah, but there's
21.
Only
yep.
one in D.C., right?
Well, we've announced we're going to be opening in the Spy Museum in the summertime. So that'll
very
be our
cool.
actually our third location because we're in the National Stadium, too.
Oh, right. That's true.
Yep. And again, all of our menus are slightly different, especially with our concretes. In the National Stadium, we have a concrete there called mm-hmm. the National Pastime that's only available at that location.
And what's in it?
That one right there is vanilla custard, malt powder, and chocolate toffee. Mm-hmm. Blend it all together.
Yum.
It's absolutely
sounds
delicious
good.
On a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're really known for is our burgers.
Right.
We do a simple classic American hamburger. But what we do is we take our burger and smash it on our griddle and develop this really crunchy, salty crust that locks in all the flavor and the juices. And then we serve it on a classic potato roll.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice and squishy. So when you bite into it, you really feel the texture of the meat. It's
okay.
all about the meat with us here. So we don't want to put anything on the burger that's going to take away from that experience.
So there's no cheese?
Oh, we put cheese on there,
say,
too.
Oh, cheese
yeah.
on that burger.
American
oh.
cheese. American all the way.
Too.
Nervous.
Yeah. No, no.
You have hot dogs, too.
We have hot dogs.
Oh,
we have
man,
great hot dogs.
I got a burger and
yeah.
a hot dog.
You did? Did you put the
yeah.
hot dog on the burger?
No, I didn't do
we
that.
We actually do that. We have this annual fest that we do called Shacktoberfest. It's how we celebrate Oktoberfest American style. And we have a burger where we take a cheddar bratwurst, slice it open, sear it so the cheese gets melty but also crusty. And we put that on top of our hamburger.
Oh.
It is gluttony at its best.
See? Why didn't you bring that in today? That sounds good.
We do that special request off season.
Now
but,
I know next time.
Yeah, now I know what to bring here.
All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how you do the seasonality with your concretes and what we can look forward to with the rest of the year. This is Nikki Nellis with Chef Scott Juneau on Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Union Market is becoming D.C.'s go-to place for fresh, delicious everything, especially American lamb. Increasingly, chefs and home cooks find American lamb to be the perfect balance of flavor and nutrition. American lamb is easy to cook and brings variety to your table. The American Lamb Board reminds you to look for American lamb year-round at Harris Teeter, and don't miss Craig Rogers' signature Border Springs Farm Lamb at D.C.'s spectacular new Union Market.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis. I have with me Chef Scott Juneau, and we are digging into a whole array of concretes, which are custards, from Shake Shack, which is in DuPont Circle. We have Mark Rosati in with us. He came in from New York just to be with us on the show. So tell us a little bit more about how you guys roll the different flavors out every month.
So what we try to do is balance our flavors with a little bit of Americana. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do our riffs on like mint chocolate chip. And then we'll also try to add in some new flavors, some maybe foodie flavors. Something you can look forward to in the coming months is waffles and bacon custard.
Very well with those maple bacon donuts that we had earlier.
Absolutely. And actually last month.
Everything's better
with bacon. Yes. Amen to that. We actually added bacon to our menu last year. First time. We've been around for almost 9 years now. Finally added bacon.
Why were you not adding bacon?
Well, we always want to keep our menu very simplistic. Mm-hmm. And if we do add anything to our menu, it has to be something really awesome. Mm-hmm. So it took us a while to get there. But not only did we add bacon, we added a custom-made double-smoked Nyman Ranch bacon.
Oh, I love
that. That is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So if it's not awesome and it's not also good, we're just not put on the menu. So it was a long search, but we made it happen.
Okay. And do you work with them on the meat that you serve? Do you use Nyman Ranch as well?
No. We use a different meat for our burgers, but our burger meat's all natural. It's a custom blend that we developed about 9 years ago, and it really makes for a wonderful burger. It was
custom
that
blend, meaning different parts.
Yeah, and actually, the owner of our company, Danny Meyer, developed this blend. He looked at it like a winemaker develops wine.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, this part of the cow has this unique flavor. It's very rich and delicious, and this tastes a little different, fun, but not quite a whole burger. If we take this blend it together, we have something that's greater than the sum of its parts." So. From day one, it's always been about the meat with us.
Well, I think that makes sense. I mean, chef.
No, absolutely. And you get it from Pat LaFreda, right?
Yeah.
Pat LaFreda is the meat man in New York and really amazing butcher and great company. So it's all about the meat.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that a lot of people, like in a lot of restaurants, when you go in for a burger, they're thick. Mm. It's all about, you know, size matters when it comes to burgers.
Yeah.
But you guys are saying, no, smush it.
We like to smash it. So we're cooking our burgers to medium, but we feel for our size burger and for the method we used to cook it on the old school flat top griddle, locking in that flavor, to get the right sear, the right way of melting that cheese, we feel that's the best way to go. If you want more meat, you can always double it up. You can even triple the meat if you want.
Gluttony.
So, right. Yeah.
Or put a hot dog on top of
it. Yeah, you're in control. You're in control. If you have a light appetite, go single,
We have no control.
We have zero control.
I like you guys. Very cool.
That's the year. That's our year. Zero control.
Zero control.
2013.
Gluttony, decadence.
What else?
Let it all hang out.
Right?
Yep.
That's exactly what I think of when I think of you, Scott.
Oh, yeah. let it go.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming in today. Thanks for bringing in all the delicious flavors. Do you just want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Well, we're in DuPont Circle. We're on a corner of Jefferson and 18th. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we're there every day from 11 to midnight.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, Tom, we're throwing back to you. Tom and Danny.
Okay. Back at you.
So the rum punch.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is sprinkled on top?
Nutmeg.
Oh, God, it's delicious. It's really nice.
Very good.
And that punch is actually a little savory, isn't it? It's not sweet and sticky, is it?
It's totally for me. That's, you nice. Know, because I really don't like those sweet drinks. I want to get into the food that you're serving at Hogo. And I want to get in. I want to sort of walk people through the restaurant. Because when you walk, having been there, when you walk in, you know, it's like this dark bar with these fabulous murals, and then you go in the back and it's bright white lights. I mean, it's with a, you know,
we might tint those a little
bit. It's really bright. I'm just saying, it was really bright. So can you walk people through it a little bit?
Well, you know, there's two components to the Hogo. The first is the bar. Obviously, when you walk in, that's the first thing that you notice. You're greeted with a drink and by a bartender. But what we have going on in the back is something that we're calling temporary works, which is that we're working with several different chefs, actually, to come in, and we're going to reconcept the food about every month. Right now, our chef from Passenger, Chef Javier Duran, is headed up a really a pretty funky, cool concept for us in that we're doing a Hawaiian diner theme right now. So you can come in and get a mixed plate, a loco moco with a
Spam
burger.
Sushi.
Speaking of burgers,
yeah. Right.
With egg and sausage gravy and sushi rice and
sausage
yeah,
gravy,
pretty indulgent. and then of course, yeah, the spam wasabi with the actually the best presentation of spam I've had in my life.
I know, it's really fabulous.
I mean, I like it with like extra like Velveeta on it normally, but this
okay,
is taking
time
it
to
a whole
to try
new
like
level.
That.
Let's just make everything with processed foods.
yeah, no, Velveeta. Javier's just taking it to a whole new level. It's something that I never expected out of such a simple meat.
And I can't remember what was the soup. There's a fabulous
the miso soup.
The miso is but it's not calling it just miso is.
Well, it's
a,
it's yeah,
a little
it's
more extravagant
noodles
than that.
And it's pork belly and it's it's all.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I could go for a bowl of that right now.
Me too.
Sounds really good. All right. Well, so Tom and Danny, thank you both for coming in today. Can you tell everybody where they can find Hogo?
Oh, Hogo's at 1017 7th Street Northwest, right across from the convention center. So,
and next to the Passenger.
Yeah, two doors down from Passenger.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in today. This has been so much fun. And are you taking these back with you? Or can we
you have to empty them first.
Okay. Well, I think we can manage that.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Scott for coming in and co-hosting with me today. It's such a special treat to have you here with me.
Oh, thank you. Special to be here.
Well, thanks. So tell me a little bit about what you're up to these days now that New Year's is over.
Yes, now that New Year's is over, thankfully. We move into, you know, one of my favorite times of the year. Chinese New Year is coming up in a month. Starts on February 10th. So
are we ramping up?
We're ramping up.
Just
we're gearing
like Mardi Gras,
up.
Are we getting ready? Are we partying until?
There'll be no plastic babies and any dumplings, but we do a lot with dumplings. And this year we're going to kick it off on the 9th, February 9th, the day before New Year's. Traditionally, you would make dumplings that day with your family. So I'm going to teach a dumpling class for, I think we up to like 60, 70 people in the dining room on Saturday morning.
Oh, how much fun.
So that'll be, we're going to put out the press release this week, and we'll teach dumplings, and then Wolfgang is coming to hang out with us Monday night, February 11th to do.
You're going to bring the dragons back?
The dragon dancers will be there. Yes. I tried to bring a snake charmer in, but I was shot.